Sunny977. Continuing our conversation this morning on music, the pandemic, and the arts with 10,000 Maniacs founding member Dennis Drew. We talked last time about the album In My Tribe. Talked about a great song called Trouble Me from Blind Man's Zoo. Picking up our conversation with Dennis Drew from 10,000 Maniacs on this St. Patrick's Day Wednesday morning. You mentioned These Are Days and that era between In My Tribe and Our Time in Eden. Some great songs. And as the story goes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Natalie actually announced to you guys she was leaving about a couple years before she left. And but what, you know, what people may not realize is Mary Ramsey, your current singer, who's a fantastic singer, actually was with you guys on MTV and played on Eden as well, Our Time in Eden, and kind of just came in to replace Natalie when Natalie left, tiring of, I guess the quote was, making art by committee, right, Dennis?
Yeah. She wanted to be in charge of herself, and we knew it. We always knew she was going to eventually leave, and that was no surprise to any of us, and that was expected. And the interesting thing is, when John left in '86, it was sort of the same thing. He got tired of being, you know, he wanted to have more control over things. Didn't like some of the decisions we were making. And so he went and he started, John and Mary, he did a thing called the New Dillons, but then he got together with Mary Ramsey, John Lombardo, and Mary, John and Mary. And they made several, they made a couple of records for Ryko Disc, if you remember Ryko Disc in old days. So, and they opened for us. They went on tour with us and in 1990, when we played in England and around the country in 1990, they were our opening act. And, would come out on stage and play with us, you know. Whenever we did the old material, they would come out and play, and Mary would sing backups and add violin to different songs. And so they became part of the family as far back as 1990.
Wow.
89, 90. So, you know, we had been around, everybody's been around each other. We all get along. You know, we're like the divorced couple that still got along and had to raise the children together. So we were fine. And, Mary came in really quite naturally. Mary and Natalie are friends. They like each other. And
that's awesome.
You know, it was just Natalie just had to go and do her own thing, and everybody agreed with that. That's fine. So when we, you know, we've been playing with Mary and John throughout the early 90s here and there as an opening act, and they were doing their own thing. So when Natalie said before we made In My Tribe, when we sat down to record, write songs, just to begin writing songs for In My Tribe, I'm sorry, Our Time in Eden, when we sat down to write songs for Our Time in Eden in 91, early 91, she says, okay, this is the last record and tour I'm going to do with you guys, just so you know. And we said, okay. And if you listen to the record, that's obviously what it's about.
Yeah,
most of the record, certainly that song. And so we did, so we said, okay, we'll do that. And we did that, went on tour. I had a baby, a one-year-old. My daughter was born during the making of the record.
Oh, wow.
92. And then Steve's wife was pregnant, and he had a baby in 93, right at the end of our touring together with Natalie. So, you know, we were all just growing up, being real people. And it seemed natural to us. There weren't any hard feelings or anything. So, and Mary and John just fit in naturally. It was just, okay, well, this is what we do next.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah, and it seemed like I heard Natalie had left in maybe fall of 93, and it seemed like there was a while before the Maniacs made another record. And then in 1997, I remember being in radio, and Love Among the Ruins, which is a fantastic record, came out. More Than This and Rainy Day were played on AC Radio. And it seemed like, though, it came out, and then I remember reading about it, seeing an ad in radio and records, and then it just kind of vanished. And as a fan, I knew about it, but I don't think enough people know about this record, and particularly some tracks. I think, you know, most casual fans know More Than This, but that record had Big Star. It had A Room for Everything, which is a fantastic song. And it just seemed like there wasn't enough I'll use the word noise above this great record in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is a good record. I'm really proud of that record. That's a great record. The title song, Love Among the Ruins, is a great song. We co-wrote that. Mary and John got together with Jules Shear and wrote a couple songs for the record. It took a while because we were obviously dropped by our record company, Elektra. They said they wanted to have Natalie and go with Natalie. So 94 and 95 were about writing material, raising our families. We had young kids. So we weren't in any hurry. So we wrote songs over that period of time, threw a lot away. A lot of the songs that we didn't use, we ended up using for Earth Pressed Flat. But we wrote a ton of songs and really great songs. Big Star, Big Star is a fantastic song.
It is, yeah.
I love that song. It's quick story on Big Star. So I'm at home. John and Mary live in Buffalo, and we live in Jamestown. So they would come down, and we'd work, we'd play, we'd, you know, try to work on ideas. Again, usually instrumentals, give it to the singer or the songwriters, and they would take it home. So we had played Big Star, which is a Rob Buck song, and they took it back to Buffalo. No, I'm sorry, that's a different one. I called up John one day just to see if, you want to come down this week? What are you and Mary doing? What's the plan? Mm-hmm. And he goes, wait a minute, Mary and I just wrote a song. I said, really? You just wrote a song? He goes, yep. And he set the phone down on the bed, and with his guitar, they played Big Star, and with words, and most of the words and everything. Wow. And it was like, wow, that's fantastic. So he played it to me over the phone in his from his apartment, and they brought it down. Rob put that great guitar part on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the rest is history. He's a big, big Star fan. They were really good friends with Alex Chilton. We did some stuff with Alex Chilton, too. We would always see Alex in New Orleans, and he would come, and he played on stage with us in Washington, D.C. one time and hung out with us. They were really good friends with Alex.
Uh-huh.
So that is what that song is about.
I was going to ask you about that. That's a great connection there. And that song just kind of lifts. If you're, you put it on and the music works and the lyrics work and the way Mary sings it. And Mary has such a very pure, uplifting, she's friendly sounding. Mary just has a warmth to her that really came through on that record and everything she's done, really. But you mentioned Earth Pressed Flat. And as a fan, I noticed that Earth Pressed Flat, to me, felt like a little more Fairport, a little more folk-oriented, and I hate not to pigeonhole it, but it seemed like kind of a romantic record, a little bit. Songs like Ellen and songs like that, and just a really neat album that, again, not enough people know about, Dennis.
Yeah, I think, certainly what happened with Love Among the Ruins is that, the Geffen Empire was falling apart. That was on Geffen Records.
That's right.
And he sold it. He fired it. They sold it to MCA during that time period and basically dumped everybody. They were not really promoting records. They were spending all their money on Guns N' Roses and Nirvana right. And whatever was left of that empire.
Sure.
And we were not pop music enough for them to really get out and promote. So, Gary Kerfurst and all the different guys over there were good guys, but they only had enough room to prioritize a few acts, and we weren't one of them. So that just kind of fell by the wayside, which is sad because it is a great record with great, great stuff on it. And we worked hard on that record. We remixed it about three times.
Wow.
Did a lot of it with John Keane in Athens. We made it mostly in Athens and Nashville. This is Love Among the Ruins. And and it just has a great sound to it, I think. Mary has such a pure voice. She's a pure vocal. She's a folk singer and classically trained.
Wow.
She's not unaffected. There's no affectation to what she does. It's all extremely clear and clean. And her innocence and youth comes through on her vocals, I think, certainly in those days. We plowed through that, and we're disappointed in the sales of that record for sure. because we thought we really had something going. But we had some extra songs and got together with our friend Armin Petrie. Armin still works with us when we need some engineering and some producing. Mm-hmm. Armin had done the Goo Goo Dolls early stuff and did Sixpence None to Rick Richard, but he's a Buffalo guy too, and friends with John and Mary. So we worked on the Earth Press Flat there, and it sounds really folky because we included Who Knows Where the Time Goes by right. Fairport Convention on yeah. there, which is a really great version of that song, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, great title track, and Once a City, and really neat stuff. It's got the Buffalo Jamestown, the cover is even a neat cover. It really is a neat album to check out.
Yeah, John did the artwork. Natalie did the early artwork. And then John did Love Among the Ruins and all the other ones since, most of the other ones since then. Although we quit again. so he didn't do music from the motion picture, but he was, and he came back, so.
Oh, okay.
One big sometimes. Happy family.
Yeah, that happens in families, musical families, too. Sadly, after Earth Press Flat came out, it was about a year or so, we lost the great Rob Buck. And I don't say that lightly. Rob, many people might not know, was a main writer in the band. Hey, Jack Kerouac, mm-hmm. What's the matter here? These Are Days. And musically, he's a giant to me and many fans. As a guitar player, and I want to ask you, Dennis, I know it's tough. We miss him. We know his musical contributions, and I'm hoping that people will hear this and go out and dig in a little bit more, but what was Rob like as a person?
Rob was extremely generous and very funny and very stoic. When we would argue about things, and I'm saying minor things, you know, right. Should we get up at 10 or 11 to go to the next gig? Should we do two choruses here or one chorus here? When we really, he wouldn't even weigh in on a lot of stuff. He wouldn't say anything. He just liked to play. And then when we really couldn't make a decision, we'd ask Rob, and then we'd go with whatever he said he wanted to do. So he was, because he wasn't demonstrative where he had to have his way. He just wasn't the guy, oh, no, we got to do it this way. We got to do it that way. He just wasn't like that. He just played so well that we basically went with whatever he played, and you really never had to give him any direction. He played some songs in the wrong key the whole time, but it sounded great. He didn't care. He says, wow. I don't need to know the chords, you know. Wow. And he would write charts. He worked hard. He was an only child and was a quiet, generally a really pretty quiet guy. But it was his hotel room that we hung out in after gigs. Mm. At least the boys. He was also pretty well educated, went to school for anthropology.
Wow.
And we talked a lot about different cultures around the world. And, you know, he would sit in his hotel room with his children and we'd smoke weed and talk about stuff and never turn the TV on. And that's what we did after gigs. We smoked a lot of weed. We were a weed smoking band. We weren't any other drug kind of band at all. So we pretty quiet. Did not really, you know, he was the kind of guy that he would hang out. The only time he was really in public is when he was on stage. Otherwise, he didn't really go out to eat very much. He might go buy a pair of pants. He did like clothes. He was quite a clothes horse, actually.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. Yeah, he was into Stussy, you know, that brand of, like, skater gear.
I remember. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He liked skater stuff and had a wild red leather jacket. And, you know, he liked stuff. He was a collector. He had cool antiques in his house. He had a house with virtually no corners.
Really?
They were all rounded off. It was an old, old house, probably from the 20s, and it was built by some sort of architect. So it was really cool. But he had, a vast collection of books and art books, and knickknacks and lamps and guitars. It had a wild tie collection because we all started buying vintage clothes back in the 80s because you would go to Dead Man Shops or the Salvation Army and buy these old clothes. And we all wore these old suits and tried to look, I don't know what we were trying to look like, cross between Bill Monroe and the Beverly Hillbillies or something. Great musician. He's the kind of guy that would say there's no mistakes in this room. Wow. Just play. Just play. You're going to find your level. You're going to get to where the song needs to be. Don't stress about it. And he was right. You know, and he says, if you make a mistake, do it again. That'll be a motif. he was really pure about his music and just letting it happen. He practiced a lot. He understood a lot about music. You know, he and Jerry Augustiniak had the best ears in the band. They knew what was in tune and knew all that stuff about music. But he was very natural about it, never pushed anything. It all just flowed out of him very, very naturally. You know, What's the Matter Here is exactly, musically, is exactly the same as it was the first 10 minutes we ever played it.
Wow, really?
Yes, he played that riff. I put my two fingers on the keyboard, because there's really only two fingers on the keyboard on that one. And Steve played the bass part, Jerry played the riff, and that was it.
Wow.
It's the same song as it was 10 minutes into him teaching it to us in 1987.
Another great track from In My Tribe.
Talk about the great Rob Buck. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to pick up and talk about an album that was made after Rob passed away. It was a while before you made it, but it talks a lot about Rob. And we're going to pick up with that tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. Let's go ahead and play the song, Dennis, that you talked about that Rob came up with. And it just felt, and it just came together naturally and instantly from In My Tribe. Here's 10,000 Maniacs and What's the Matter Here?